Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 1 and 2 and 3. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, think about this, the word of his power. The word of his power, and in verse 2, he's spoken unto us by his Son. Now, I want to just emphasize words a minute. How powerful are words? Words are things we speak, right? Words are things we use as a vehicle to communicate with other people, right? So words have to be spoken. You have to speak something in order for somebody else to be the recipient on the other end to hear it. And you have to speak it out loud for somebody else to even receive it. So God had to speak into the earth, and he spoke in early days. He spoke his words and his thoughts and his ideas and what he wanted to relate to people through prophets. But in these last days, it says clearly right here that God is speaking to his people, the church. He's speaking now through the Son, who he's appointed him heir of all things. And he said, and he's upholding everything by the word of his power. That's powerful. And if you get a revelation of what the what is upholding everything, all things are being upheld by the word of his power. Do you know that God has a heart to put his word in your heart in a way that you're going to be upheld by that word also? It's the word of his power that's going to hold you together in a crisis. It's the word of his power that's going to give you victory over every situation. Because when you get established in the word of his power, you won't listen to the voice of the enemy. You won't listen to the voice of I'm never going to make it. I ain't going to make it. I don't have enough. You won't even listen to the voice of your own body screaming pain, pain, pain. Your voice, the voice of your body will become very muffled when you have the voice of God speaking in your spirit man. You see, God is raising up a people. I'm positive of this, that he's raising up a church who is going to have more of an ear of the heart than an ear that's in the brain. Because you're a spirit and you possess a soul and you live in a body. And all three have a voice. And the Holy Spirit has been given to the body of Christ to be able to communicate exactly what God would want you to know personally and collectively. The Holy Spirit is the power of God in the earth. And he's just as much God as Jesus is God. He's just as much God as the Father is God. And you cannot operate separately outside of your body. Your body is involved in what you live and do in this life, right? Like, for example, if you wanted to go over and get a glass of water, your spirit man isn't the only part of you that's operating in that. You want to go get a glass of water, your brain is thinking, I'm going to get a glass of water. But if your brain alone, your soul realm can't go get a glass of water. When you get up to go get a glass of water, all three parts of you is involved in getting the glass of water, right? Well, you see, Almighty God is not in the earth right now. He's in heaven. Jesus was on earth, but he's not on earth anymore. He is in heaven at the right hand of the Father. But he sent back the Holy Spirit, who is just as much God as he is. So here's the Holy Spirit in this earth and the power of God in the earth. And guess where he lives? He lives in you and me. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit of God is in you. He's in you right now. Turn to the book of Titus. I'm going to show you a verse in Titus chapter 3. The Holy Spirit, Jesus said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. It is a huge, huge thing what Jesus did. The promise of the Father to send us the Holy Spirit to be real in our lives, to be the holy power of God. You understand that when you go get that glass of water, something gave you power to get over there to that sink. Your hand reached out and got it. Your mind said, I want it. But there was something gave you up to get up and do it. And that's power. And that's the way God works in His Word. The Father speaks the Word. He spoke through the Son. And the Son then says, Holy Spirit, give them the power to get it done. So whatever God is speaking to you today or tomorrow, whenever, whatever He's speaking in His Word, He'll give you the power because He's given you the Holy Spirit to empower you to get the job done, whatever it is He wants you to do. He is in you as the power of God, but your spirit man is where He lives. So Titus talks about verse 5, not by works of righteousness, which we've done, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior. Now you think about that. We've been taught that God wants you to do this, this, and this, and that makes you righteous. If you'll, you know, obey the Ten Commandments, and do what is right in God's sight, and we know what's right and what's wrong. But see, the renewing of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, the renewing of the Holy Spirit is a constant thing. It isn't just a one-time happening. It happened when you got born again, and He changed you in the twinkling of an eye. You were born again, and you became a new creature in Christ. And it says in Ezekiel, it said He'll take that stony heart. They prophesied. Ezekiel prophesied, I'm going to come, and there's a people coming, a time coming, when I'm going to literally take out their stony heart and give them a new heart, a heart of flesh. So now that has happened in the new birth. Jesus said, you must be born again. If you're not born again, you can't even enter into the kingdom. You can't receive the things of the kingdom. And now we've been born again because of the blood of Jesus. We've accepted the Lord, and the Holy Spirit has come and now lives in us. And we have a renewing and a regeneration going on all the time. You know, if we just got born again and God just said, okay, make it on your own, that would be different. He didn't say that. Thank God He didn't say that. Figure it all out on your own. But He gave us someone powerful, someone very, very powerful, somebody. He's not a wispy wind. He's not just some figment of our feeling. He's not a feeling. He's a person. The Holy Spirit is somebody, and He's living in you. He is the very power of God. The power of God lives in me, and He lives in every believer. But we put Him on the sidelines. And we don't use Him. We don't ask Him to get involved in our lives. I got the power of God with me. Now, I tell you what, if I've got a big, strong, muscular man hanging out in my house, and I've got a big job to do, and I've got, say, a piano, 500-pound piano to move, and there's no way I can move that on my own. There's no way I can. I'm going to go to some strong, muscular guy and say, I'll get a couple of them, run around a couple of them up, and I say, you got some power in those muscles. You got some power going on, and you know how to move that situation. You know how to move that piano for me. I can't do it on my own. But the Holy Spirit is like that muscular guy that's sitting there waiting on you to get Him involved in your life. He's waiting on you to incorporate Him into the way of your life and the way you live. And get acquainted with the Holy Spirit. Talk to the Holy Spirit. Worship the Holy Spirit. Know that He's in you and with you, and you're not alone in this life. You have somebody with you who is on board to help you. If you go to St. John chapter 13, and this is a renewing all the time. He's always trying to get our attention. The Holy Spirit will renew you. He'll refill you. Glory to God. St. John chapter 13. Hallelujah. I lean on the Holy Spirit. I ask Him for help. I look to Him to help me. I look to Him to empower me, because I don't have the power to do the things that He asked me to do. Sometimes I'm, just like this lady was talking about, being tired. There's times I'm tired. There's times that I need help. And you do too. There's times when your mind is assaulted by the enemy. There's times when you get weary-minded. And the Holy Spirit, I look to Him. I look to Him. Because you see, God is always talking to His church. He's always talking to His people. If you go to St. John chapter 13, and I want to show you this verse, a couple of verses here. 13:34. Jesus gives us a commandment. New covenant, new commandment. Here's the commandment. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you love also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another. Now that just seems so easy to talk about. Oh, I love you. We tell people so frivolously. We tell you lightly. We use the word love so lightly. But just let there be a hard time come. Let somebody say something mean to you. Let somebody step on your toes. Let somebody do something, and then you find out how much you really love them. Really. Let somebody be critical of you. Let someone tell you they don't like how you preach, or they don't like how you look, or they're critical of, well, you just think you're all that. Let just somebody, and just see if that love is working. But see, that's the key, is because you cannot love the way God is talking about here, loving people. The love of God is not a natural human love. Oh, I love people to a limit, a point in my natural humanness. Everybody's got a certain amount of love. Even Jesus said, even the Gentiles love their own children. But this is beyond that. This is a supernatural love that comes through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And when you can't love, when you've loved with all your natural love and somebody's about ready to break you of loving them, then that's when you can lean on the Spirit of God who's living in you, and the love of God that is in you through the power of the Holy Spirit, because that love was shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And so that love can be tapped into. That's when you reach in a supernatural way, you reach into your human spirit and you say, okay, I need the love of God to manifest. Let's open up a can of love. Let's get some love of God here on this situation. Let me pour out some love here on this person. Let me start loving with God's love, because that love is not touchy. It's not fretful. It's not resentful. It doesn't take account of a thought or a wrong done to it. It is beyond the natural way of loving. It literally is. It's so supernatural. And so just like moving that piano, I asked for the help to get that piano moved by these strong men. And the power that they've got, I accept. I say, thank you for helping me with that. Because I can't possibly move that piano without your help. And then all of a sudden, I can't love this person without you helping me, God. I can't forgive them without your help. I've got to open up the love of God that's already been shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. And I've got to access that love to help me move this hatred and this anger and this frustration out of my life. Because it's going to take the love of God to get me over this hump, to get me out of this situation. And it's going to take the love of God to see things like God sees them and love people like God loves them, in order to deal with the hateful and the spiteful and the users and those who do not appreciate what you do for them, and who manipulate you and hurt you and steal from you and take from you and never want to help you. It takes the love of God to overcome that. And there's no way you're going to do it in your natural humanness, and you can try all day long, and I've done it. I cannot do it. And God didn't expect you to. He expects you. He would never give you a commandment to love like he loves without giving you the equipment and the empowerment to do it. It's just we have to know how to access the Holy Ghost, how to access and allow the Holy Ghost to be the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost wants to be the Holy Ghost in your life. He wants to manifest his glory and his power and soak in his presence and allow the Holy Ghost to manifest himself to you. I get before the Lord and I hunger for the Holy Ghost to show up. I say, I got to feel you, God. I got to feel the power of God. You see, the Holy Ghost is the power of God. God in the earth. He's present. He's so real. He's tangible. You can touch him and he can touch you, and you can be engulfed in his presence, and the glory can overshadow you just like he did Mary. And you can know God is in your kitchen, or he's in your living room, or he's in your bedroom, and you can wake up talking to the Holy Ghost. He's a real person, and he will manifest his glory to you, and his love will be so strong out of you. Woo, glory to God. And then you can love people that are unlovely. And then you sit back and you say, wow, you moved that piano just fine. You knew how to do that. I couldn't do it. I couldn't forgive that one. I couldn't love that one. I couldn't help that one. But I allowed the Holy Spirit, who's living in me. Now, while you're still in St. John, look at St. John 14. Ooh, glory to God. kito labo soto le de beshala bahata la bikilo to sole de beshata da bata. Hido do saraba korama hadai. Yitai sikai tai yikatai. My souls, I seek the lost souls. I am seeking those who are broken, and I'm seeking those who are lost and have no one. There's no one to throw them a lifeline. There's no one out there who cares. But I am calling you, church, to be a lifeline for lost people. People who have never heard the gospel. Yes, you think they've heard, but they've not really heard. Because they've only heard someone beat them up with words of man. But they've not seen a demonstration of love. Like I'm getting ready to pour upon the earth a manifestation of my power. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. 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 He goes here in chapter 14. Glory. Let's look at verse 15, 16 and 17. If you love me, keep my commandments. Well, the main commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul and your neighbor as yourself. You keep that commandment with the power and presence of the Holy Spirit. You allow the Holy Spirit to help you with that, then it's amazing how your prayers will be affected. It's amazing about the power it's going to turbojet your prayers. It will put a turbo pack in your power, on your prayer life. It's amazing. It's just so amazing how God will change us because of the Holy Spirit's presence in our life and that love. And so he says here, verse 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. Now, the Holy Spirit could not come as long as Jesus was walking around, because he was one man, and Jesus was on the earth being Jesus. Jesus was on the earth being Jesus. And Jesus was able to do all these things because he was full of the Holy Spirit. He was full of God. And so the fullness of God was operating through Jesus. All the miracles was done by the power of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? The same power that's living in you was in Jesus, but without measure. We have the Holy Spirit in a measure. Jesus was in constant contact with the Father because of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was like the communication gap there from heaven to earth, heaven to Father to Jesus, the Holy Spirit. Now, when you start walking in the Holy Spirit, you start walking in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll understand what that's about. A lot of your prayer life, you'll walk around, you don't need to go pray. You don't need just to go pray to feel like you're in touch with God. But you'll be walking around all the day long, every day, and you'll feel the power of God. You'll be able to talk to God all the time with the power of God. It's like he's always there. He's always right here. The Holy Spirit is in you. And so that's what Jesus promised. He said, I'm going to send you the Comforter. And so aren't you glad? Aren't you glad you have Jesus with you through the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is the Comforter. He is a person. He is a living, wonderful power. He's the power of God. And so the Spirit of truth is how he speaks to us through truth. He is truth. Now, going back to that verse I spoke a minute ago, he's spoken unto us in these last days. How does he speak to us? He speaks to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. And it's the word of his power that he speaks to us. Do you know every single word that God speaks is powerful? The words God speaks is powerful. It's almost as if God has to be very, very careful what he says, because everything God says, it happens. Everything. Now, if the Holy Spirit is living in you and me, let's think about it this way. The Holy Spirit, a person, is now in you, living in your spirit, along with you. But he's not there to take you over and dominate you. You know, you've heard of mind control and all those things that the government's working on to take over people. to make them do what they want to do. The Holy Spirit's very capable of making you do whatever he wants. But he never, ever, ever does. And he never, ever will. But he's on board for your benefit. Because he never wanted to make robots. God could have made every one of us a robot. And he could have programmed us all to do exactly what the word says to do. But he gave you a free will and he gave you a free choice. And he says, I just want you to listen to the Holy Spirit and let him lead you and guide you into truth. Because he's the Spirit of truth. And he'll never speak anything but what I would tell him to say. And he's in total agreement with God because he is God. He is God in the earth in you. And the power is present in you to do whatever you need to do for God. God ever gives you an assignment, he'll give you the power to do it. When he told me to come here and have a church, I said, I don't know anything about that, but he gave me the power to do it. He told me to do it. He told me to preach. I don't know anything about these things, but I know he's one guiding me, and he is your guide. He's your comforter. When I get sad, I don't stay sad long because I run to the comforter. And do you know how much comfort the Holy Ghost gives me? Oh my goodness, the power of God comforts me. I don't have a sad day because I give my sad day to the Holy Ghost. The person of the Holy Spirit living in me comforts me. How sad? How long am I sad? As long as I don't run to him, that's how sad I am. That's how long I'm sad. How much pain is in my body depends on how long it takes me to finally get around to go into the Holy Ghost. How long am I upset? How long does it take me to get in his presence and get in the Holy Ghost and allow the Holy Ghost to move that thing out of my life? How long does it take me? That's how long I'm sad, mad, and disgusted. It's how long it takes me to really allow the Holy Ghost to be the power of God in my life. That's how long it takes me. And I'm learning every day that I better get over on the Holy Ghost power side of the issue. And allow him to be free in my life. Loose the Holy Ghost. Loose the love. Let your spirit man dominate you through the Holy Ghost. Because he's waiting on you to give him the okay. He's getting on me to say it's okay. You can turn loose now. Are we getting this? He's talking to us today. Talking to me. He's tired of his church being beat up by the devil. He's tired of you listening to the wrong spirit. He's tired of you not running to his help. And allowing him. He's a very gentle and gentle, kind person. He'll never push anything over on you. The devil is a pusher and a driver. You can always recognize the devil when he comes, because doesn't he drive you and push you and lie to you and tell you all this stuff? He's like the car salesman that says, well, if you don't buy this today, it's going to be gone tomorrow. And he drives and pushes, manipulates you. But the Holy Spirit isn't like that. He's very gentle, very kind. He's the power of God. And he's waiting on you to listen to him. Run to him. Run to him. He's the power. Unto him that's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I could ask or think, according to the power that's working in me. The power working in me is not my power. It's the Holy Ghost power. Allowing me to let him work through me. And his word is how he works. He works through the spoken word. He worked through the spoken word with Jesus. He worked through the spoken word through us. If we think we're going to come up with a different formula, we're wrong. It's still going to be the Holy Spirit through our words. Now, we've got something called words to speak. And he will take your words, and he will just absolutely energize those words and cause things to happen. I was talking to my son the other day. He's all upset about money. And I said, he's got this school loan, about $20,000 school loan. He just graduated with his... And he's got his degree now. He's an electrical engineer, and he's making good money, and he's still upset about... The devil's talking to his head right about money. He's got the family going to descend upon his house, and he just feels more money. Money, money, money. Pressure, pressure, pressure. And the enemy's using all this seed. And I said, Brian, we were doing Skype. Isn't that amazing technology? I'm just walking through my living room, cleaning the house, and all of a sudden I go, ding, 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 ding. I'm thinking, what in the world was that noise? And it was Skype calling me. And I go over and click my thing, and there's my son. There's my grandkids. Whoa, right in my living room. Amazing. It is amazing. It's like technology. Wow. Do you know they say that they're making our appliances to even have that stuff go on inside of them? They'll be able to track you everywhere you go. They're going to know what kind of food you're eating in your refrigerator. They're going to know everything there is to know about you before it's over with. Big Brother really is watching you. But anyway, I think God, the Holy Ghost, has always been there anyway. So I said to my son, I said, Brian, I said, do you know what you need to do? Let me tell you what you need to do. You need to put those bills in front of you, and you need to command them to be canceled. You need to speak to your bills. Jesus said, whoever shall say to this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt on his heart, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And allow the Holy Spirit to work in those words. Loose him. Loose him in that situation. Speak your situation. Speak to your mountain. And believe it in your heart and doubt not. And if you have any ought against any, forgive. Because that's going to stop the Holy Spirit from working. There is so much power in the power of the Holy Spirit at your hand, at your disposal. Romans chapter 8. Oh, we better just get on board with it. I'm telling you, we better just, as a body of believers, we just better, as individuals, we better get on board. That's all there is to it. Stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop whining and crying and bawling and squalling. Allow the Holy Ghost to work in your life. That's what I'm finding out. That's what I've been finding out. It's 10. And if Christ be in you, and he's in you through the Holy Spirit, that's how Christ is in you, the power of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit in you. He's in you that raised up. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Now remember, I started out with Titus chapter 3, that the renewing of the washing of the water of the Word, the renewing of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit renewal. The Holy Spirit is your best friend, I'm telling you. It's time to get acquainted with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to really be alive and you're aware of Him and access Him. And He's so waiting on you to get Him involved in your life. And it's through your words that you release Him. You know, the Holy Spirit and angels get involved in your life when you work. Tell you what, angels hearken to the voice of God's word. And you put voice to God's word. You put voice to it, your mouth. And if you start talking death, he just folds up and shrinks back. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. It grieves the Holy Spirit when you start talking anger and hate and mean stuff and criticism and all that stuff. He shrinks back. He can't work through that. He's wanting so badly for you to loose him with your words. Loose his power with your mouth. And so Romans chapter 8, it says, verse 11, and if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, and he does, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. The Holy Spirit literally will absolutely quicken whatever needs to be quickened. That quickened word means to be made alive or whole. He quickens you. Let him supernaturally free in your life. And then it goes on. He says, therefore, brethren, you are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. But if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. Now this has a twofold meaning here. Your human spirit. I'm telling you, the real you has got to grow up and mature and be in charge of the rest of you. And then you and the Holy Spirit work together. He works with your human spirit because your spirit has a voice. Has anybody ever experienced a situation where you know you're not talking out of your head anymore to a situation you're talking out of your gut? Anybody ever had that happen? Where you're talking out of your heart and you know that it's you talking out of your spirit. You start realizing, hey, I got a spirit man that needs to speak to this situation. And I've got the Holy Spirit living in me who can empower me to put some power behind those words. And so the Holy Spirit will get involved with your words that you choose to speak, you choose to work through, you take the word of God, and you, I'm telling you, he gets excited. Holy Spirit gets so excited when he sees some of his children finally maturing. Don't you get excited as a parent when you see your children taking leaps and bounds and growth? Start tying their shoe. You don't have to do it anymore. They're tying their own shoe. Oh, praise God. Potty. The Holy Spirit is seeing us develop and grow. And we take in charge of our own relationships. We're taking charge with the revelation of the Word of God. I'm praying for my children. God, and I put their name in front of it. Give Brian the spirit of wisdom. Give Brian the spirit of revelation, the knowledge of you. Let Brian's eyes of understanding be enlightened. Let him know what is the hope of his calling in Christ Jesus. And I'm praying it out of my spirit, man. And I'm allowing the Holy Spirit to put power with it in my life. He's the power of God living in me. We set him on the sidelines. We put him on the back burner and we don't allow him to help us. And it's time to let some things get moved out of our lives that need to be moved. Put some power in your prayers. And if you want a fasted meal or two, that even adds a little more turbo to it. I'm telling you, we get some jet fuel going on in our life. See things change quicker. Have you ever noticed that sometimes it just takes, seems like you prayed for years about something and you just get the right way of praying. Boom, it happened fast. Glory to God. Glory to God. Speak to your pain. Speak to your situation. And speak out of your heart. Now, this is not something people do that are baby Christians. They can't. They've not developed to that. God will teach you. God will grow you up in that. So your human spirit is very much involved. Now, look at this verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Now, I'm a son of God and you're a son of God. We're sons of God. And if you look on over to verse 19 of chapter 8, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That really should be interpreted. And some Bibles, it translates the whole creation, the trees, the plant life, the animal life, are waiting on the manifestation of what we are really supposed to walk and talk like and look like with the power of God working in our lives. When we learn to speak what God speaks and believe it in our heart and speak it with our mouth, with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you know that salvation is, everything needs salvation. Do you know animals need salvation too? Do you know animals and plants and all these things are going to start experiencing are manifesting God? It is going to affect all of creation when we manifest as sons of God. The manifestation of the sons of God is just not when you die. We don't need to worry about problems when we get to heaven. We're going to be okay in heaven. It's right now when we need to deal with the devil. It's right now when we need to cast out devils and heal the sick. Do you know a lot of afflictions and sickness are because there's a devil in that person's life? A lot of things can change by just one prayer of power as we release it. And there's been many times I've prayed for somebody long distance and seen them healed. My sister had a blown out colon. Her colon was completely blown out. And all of that bile was in her body. And she started throwing up violently. And her eyeballs turned yellow. Her body turned yellow. She's 70 some years old, about 72 years old at the time. And she's in Dallas, Texas. I'm in Kentucky. And I found out about her being in the hospital. And they said, it ain't looking good. And I got people praying. I got on my knees and I began to speak to my sister's body. And I allowed the Holy Spirit to do what he does the best. And that's heal and manifest God. And my sister was miraculously healed. Was in the hospital. What happens, they go in and clean you out. But that stuff was in her bloodstream and it goes into your lungs and usually the pneumonia that you get from it, septic, it dies. Went right through it. Cleaned right up. The doctor told her, you are a walking miracle. You should not be here. And I know it was because of prayer. The power of the Holy Spirit. Not me, but I know how to pray. I know how to pray. And that's not, is that bragging on me? It's just saying the truth. I've learned that the Holy Spirit is so available for us. So when we pray, our part is to speak the word, believe it in our heart, confess it with our mouth, and thou shalt be saved. I don't know what you need to be saved from, but it's not just going to heaven, but you need to be saved from whatever needs to be saved from right now in your life. Yes. Electric bill. I say, come. Well, Father, I just seal this word right now. I seal it, Father. I thank you for it. I thank you for the revelation of the Word of God. Changes us. Motivates us. Give us grace right now, Father, to absolutely step into the supernatural power of God in our lives that you're already in us. Give us grace to get rid of us and access you.
Less of us and more of you, Lord. Get us out of that reasoning and that way of thinking and get us in your word, Father. In the name of Jesus.